Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and a doctorate in education from Georgia Southern University. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I also serve on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy, and I still maintain a busy practice and teaching schedule because I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists mainly of people who want to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income. Also, singles looking for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, and actors desiring more confidence for their next audition. When I travel to see clients and teach hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I visit such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you'd be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and click on Hypnosis Classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. After your training, you'll be added to our worldwide directory of certified clinical hypnotherapists, and you'll receive a certificate. I was fortunate for many years to have my office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat, and many other celebrities. I have been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, and appeared on True TV, in addition to having my own hypnosis TV show. With my over 20 years of experience, I'm happy to share with you techniques that I've both developed and learned which can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. There you will find my life's work, 22 books on hypnotherapy, over 3,000 hypnosis recordings available as downloadable MP3s or CDs, and these recordings will program your mind to achieve goals in such areas as weight loss, motivation, and stopping smoking. I also have audiobooks, such as this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing with you in a very dynamic way techniques that you can use to improve your life and the way you do things. The reason I'm telling you all of this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I, your teacher, am very capable and I know what I'm talking about. I'm also very happy for the opportunity to share this information with you, so rest assured that you're in good hands and let's have some fun as we now expand your knowledge. I wish you well in all of your endeavors and please be sure to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and let's take a look at increasing your psychic ability. When we say someone is psychic, what we usually mean is they have the ability to perceive information that is otherwise unknown. Information that goes beyond the use of the 5 senses of touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. Psychic ability is often said to be a 6th sense. The recorded history of psychic powers goes back to ancient times, when people depended upon astrology to predict the future. Psychics are also known as seers, prophets, and clairvoyants. One of the most notable prophets was Nostradamus, who lived from 1503 to 1566 AD. He wrote prophecies which totaled 6,338 quatrains that predict death, plagues, wars, natural disasters, and invasions, but he did not give dates for his predictions. Many ancient cultures believed in prophetic dreams. In modern times, belief in spirits has become more popular, and contact through mediums is now very popular. In a 2009 survey in the United States, 41% of the people surveyed believed in ESP, extrasensory perception, or psychic abilities. 41% believed in ESP, extrasensory perception, 31% believed in psychic communication, and 26% believed in clairvoyance, which is having visions about something or someone. Let's take a look at psychic ability, where it comes from, and how to enhance it. We do know that it can be passed on in a hereditary fashion. So genetically, one parent can pass this on to a child. According to shamanic legend, abilities are passed down to future generations. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the only way to achieve psychic powers. All of us have psychic powers within us. It's only a matter of developing them. But think about it like an athlete. Some athletes are genetically predisposed to having an advantage. It doesn't mean that someone who does not have a genetic advantage can't work their way up, because they certainly can. One way to enhance your psychic abilities is through meditation. Psychic abilities are natural and can be enhanced and perfected through meditation. Meditation puts you in a heightened state of mind, allowing you to increase your psychic awareness. When you meditate, focus on quieting your conscious mind, and then focus on deep and consistent breathing. Then draw your attention inward. This process heightens your intuition. When using self-hypnosis to improve your psychic abilities, this can be very similar to meditation, but includes a greater depth of visualization. So again, you would get yourself into a comfortable place where you're sitting or lying down. Focus on your breathing and imagine a soothing and relaxing place in your mind. Notice all the details. Allow your conscious mind to let go of thoughts. Rather than forcing them out, just allow them to drift out when they're ready. And visualize something such as the sun or a stairway, something that can move down and allow you to relax more and more deeply as you count from 10 to 1. So if you're imagining the sun, you can imagine the sun setting as you count from 10 to 1. If you are imagining the stairs, you can imagine yourself walking down the stairs slowly as you count from 10 to 1. Next, visualize taking a piece of paper out of your pocket. And imagine that on that piece of paper is a question that you wish to have answered. Imagine a box with a lid on top of it, in front of you. Imagine opening the box and putting the question in the box. Then imagine closing the lid and pause for a moment. And imagine the question you asked being replaced by the answer. After that, you will count up from 1 to 3, becoming more and more consciously aware with each number. And when you reach the number 3, you will be out of the hypnotic state. Now realize that practice may be needed in order to see the answer. But be patient and realize that it will take time and you will have the answer soon. Also keep in mind that with this recording, I've included a hypnosis session that will guide you step by step through the process. But I did want to share that information with you in case you want to practice hypnosis without the recording. I'd like to talk now about clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is the ability to perceive matters beyond the range of our ordinary perception. Clairvoyance literally means clear vision. It's a form of extrasensory perception, or ESP. Information is gained from a physical source rather than from one mind to another. Clairvoyance allows you to perceive events from both the past and the future. And it may be interesting to note that both the United States and the Russian governments used clairvoyance during the Cold War as an intelligence gathering tool. Also, scientific evidence was gathered by the Stanford Research Institute in the 1970s. In their studies, the concept of remote viewing was found to have scientific significance. So here's what happened in the Stanford remote viewing studies. Step 1, they had a person sit in a remote location. In step 2, the clairvoyant person was asked to describe this remote location that he or she had not been to. In step 3, the two descriptions, the description of the actual remote location and the description of that remote location given by a clairvoyant, were judged by a third party to see how closely they resembled each other and how clearly did that description match the actual description of the place. In analyzing the data obtained from these tests, the scientists were able to determine that the descriptions given by the clairvoyants could not be attributable simply to chance. In other words, they couldn't have just been guessing about the surroundings and achieved the accuracy level that they produced. The findings were conclusive that the clairvoyants were drawing on some form of other information source. Let's talk about the types of clairvoyance. There's clairaudience, which means acquiring information through hearing and listening. There's claircognizance, which means acquiring information through intrinsic knowledge. There's clairsentience, which means acquiring information through feeling. Clairalience, which means acquiring information through smelling. And clairgustance, which means acquiring something through taste without putting anything in your mouth. Let's take a look now at mediumship. Mediumship facilitates communication between spirits and non-mediums. During this communication, the medium listens to the spirit voices. This is mental mediumship. Or the medium can go into a trance and relay information. This is trance mediumship. Or the spirit can take over the medium's body and communicate during what we call physical mediumship. During this process, there is a spirit guide, a spirit who communicates between the medium and the other dead spirits and acts as a guide. There's also a spirit operator, a spirit who uses the medium to change energy. With psychic powers, as you will develop by using the hypnosis component to this program, you will be able to fine-tune your ability to do such things as read tarot cards, have intuition in any situation, and communicate with spirits. That's why I'm sharing this information with you, to help broaden your knowledge of the world that you're going to have access to. As you develop your psychic powers, you're also going to need to develop your visualization abilities. So I want to talk now about visualization. Now, your imagination is your most powerful resource. No matter what your circumstances are, your mind has limitless capabilities and endless possibilities. And you can use this to your full advantage. You can allow your imagination to lead your body, your actions, your decisions, and your future. By utilizing creative visualization, you can reveal the possibilities of your future. Once you can see the possibilities in your imagination, you can make them a reality through your actions, and you can accomplish things at a greater level. So let's look at creative visualization in sports. Athletes commonly use creative visualization as affirmations. It is very common practice to have athletes imagine themselves executing routines that they often have trouble with. It has been shown to be a very effective tool for overcoming obstacles in athletic performance. By imagining a successful execution, the body physically responds to this new possibility. Studies also show that when you imagine something, there is a signal sent to that part of your body. So let's say, for example, that you're a professional baseball player, and I've had the honor of working with professional baseball players who help enhance the quality of their game through hypnosis. When you imagine yourself swinging at the ball, your brain actually sends nerve impulses to the muscles involved with swinging that bat. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to swing the bat when you imagine it, but you do get a form of credit for imagining it. You get credit toward another practice. So you can practice physically, but you can also practice in your imagination. It's not quite as powerful as practicing physically in terms of training the muscles to do what they're supposed to do, but it can be infinitely more powerful to practice in your imagination when it comes to the mental advantage that you will gain. Because when you imagine swinging a bat in your mind, you can imagine it happening perfectly. You're actually training your mind and training your body to swing that bat perfectly at the ball. So, the old saying is, practice makes perfect. The new saying is, perfect practice makes perfect. If you can practice in your mind, doing it perfectly, you can translate this energy onto the field. So, when an athlete imagines performing their job perfectly, the mind is expanded due to the imagination, and the mind now accepts this perfect execution as a reality. Suddenly, the athlete is capable of performing at a higher level. This is considered an integral aspect of sports medicine and training, by the way, guided imagery. So, for example, when an athlete is recovering from a sports injury, they can imagine themselves doing what they used to do, and that can help pull them toward getting back to the top of their game. So after a shoulder injury, for example, a football player who is a quarterback can imagine himself throwing like he used to throw. A runner who has had a knee injury can imagine herself running like she used to run. This actually speeds up the recovery process. So never underestimate the power of visualization. Always use it whenever you can to get yourself to the next level, or if you've taken a step backwards, to get yourself back to where you were, imagining yourself doing whatever you do perfectly. Perhaps one of the most strikingly powerful uses of visualization is in the realm of creativity. Now, if you imagine great books or great pieces of art or great movies or great stories or great sculptures, you have to realize that that started in someone's mind. It didn't start out the way that you see it. It started as just an idea. Maybe the creator of it saw something or heard something that made him or her think about something that could be done with it. And then other ideas were brought in and it became more and more elaborate. But every book, every movie, every story, every statue, every building, everything that you see that's been created by someone or a team of people started as just an idea. And they had to use creative visualization to get it from the point of just an idea to actually existing in reality. So creative visualization can actually be a tremendous tool in getting you from your initial idea to having something out there that everyone can enjoy. It's also possible to visualize and control your emotions. So if you're not in a moving vehicle, you can go ahead and perform this exercise. What does anger look like when you close your eyes? Go ahead and close your eyes right now and imagine what anger looks like. Go ahead and do this now as I am silent. Okay, good. Now, what did you see? What did you see when you imagined anger? When I did it just a moment ago while you were doing it, I saw a red ball. That for me was anger. That was my visualization of anger. Now, whatever you saw was your individual vision, and that's fine for you. There's no right or wrong way to see it. There's no universal vision of anger. It's just whatever you saw is fine with you. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes again, and this time I want you to see your vision of anger, whatever it was, becoming more calm. I want you to add tranquility to it. So what happens when it becomes tranquil? Just imagine it now. Imagine visually seeing it with your eyes closed, visually seeing your anger, and see it changing into tranquility or peacefulness. Go ahead and imagine that now as I'm silent. Okay, good. Now, what happened for you? Hopefully, something amazing happened. Hopefully, as you were seeing that vision, it changed the way you felt. For me, I saw a red ball for anger. It looked kind of like the sun. And then when I imagined tranquility coming in, it was blue water that was washing over it and making it melt. So eventually, over the brief time that I was quiet and thinking about that, the red ball that looked like the sun kind of melted into the blue water. So now I want you to work with that picture again, and I want you to make it more relaxing. You've already taken it from angry to tranquil. Now I want you to make it more relaxing, even more relaxing. Do this now as I'm silent. Okay, so hopefully again something amazing happened. For me, remember, initially my anger was a red ball, kind of like the sun, and then when tranquility came in, it was like blue water, kind of washing over it and kind of melting it away, and then it dissolved into the blue water. Then when I imagined more relaxation, that blue water became very calm, and I could see a lot of it. I could see it as far as my eye could see. It kind of disappeared over the horizon, like looking out over a calm ocean. And as I was doing that, something happened within my body. Something happened physiologically. I became more relaxed. So I started with creating anger. I created anger in myself by imagining that red ball, and then I moved it to tranquility and then greater relaxation. So that didn't actually take a lot of time, and the rewards can be tremendous. You can take yourself through visualization from actually being angry to being very relaxed. Let's try another exercise. I want you to imagine sadness. If you're not driving, close your eyes. Just imagine sadness. Imagine what it would look like visually with your eyes closed. Imagine sadness. Good. Now, when I imagined sadness, I imagined raindrops, big raindrops that look kind of like cartoon raindrops, like an almond shape, dropping from the sky. And each raindrop was about 2 inches tall and maybe a half inch wide. And they're dropping from the sky. And they were clear. That's what I saw when I saw sadness. And it made me feel sad. Okay, now what I want you to do is close your eyes again as I'm silent and imagine happiness. Imagine happiness changing that picture. So whatever picture you saw, whatever you saw in your mind, happiness is coming in now, and it's changing that picture. Do this now as I'm silent. Okay, now what did you see? What I saw was the yellow smiley face with the black eyes and a black nose and a black mouth, kind of the stereotypical smiley face, moving in from right to left across my visual field, just a big happy circle, big yellow circle with a smiley face on it, moving in. And as it did, it pushed those raindrops out of the way until all I saw was that big happy smiley face. So that's what happened for me. And as that happened, I felt myself, my emotions, going from sad to happy. And all that happened in a relatively short period of time. Hopefully you had a similar experience, because what we see can dictate what we feel. So you realize now the power of creative visualization. Make sure that when you visualize things, when you imagine things in your mind, they're things that you want to feel in your body, because that's how powerful this is. All right, let's take a little break now. I want to make sure that you're with me, that you're paying attention and that you're learning something. So what I want you to do right now is, if you're driving and you can pull over, go ahead and do that. If you're not driving, then you can definitely do this. You can take out a piece of paper and you can write down 5 things that you've learned so far from what I've said. 5 things that resonated with you. Now, I want you to keep in mind, they don't even have to be 5 things that I said. Maybe you got some good ideas from what I said. Maybe I said something and your brain took it and blew it up a million times and came up with all kinds of wonderful, amazing possibilities based on what I said. If that's the case, then feel free to write that down. I just want you to write down 5 things, whether they came from me or they're just thoughts that came in your head. 5 things that have come to you so far, either from me saying them or from you thinking them, as a result of listening to this program so far. So as I'm silent, I'm going to give you ample time now. I want you to write down 5 things, 5 thoughts that you have as a result of listening to this program so far. Do this now. Okay, do you have your 5 things? If not, go ahead and finish them up. 5 things, write them down. So I'm going to move forward now. Let's take those 5 things that you have written down, and I want you to elaborate on them. For example, if you have an insight number 1, that's I should change blank about myself, whatever it may be, I want you to elaborate on that. Whatever you've written down for point number 1, something that's come to you during listening to this program, I want you to elaborate on that now as I'm silent. Good. And now I want you to take point number 2 and elaborate on that. What was the second point that you wrote down, and how can you enhance this idea? I want you to make it real for yourself, because I want you to have, after you finish this program, something you can use. So on point number 2, elaborate on it. Consider what you wrote down as point number 2, the foundation. Now build a house on it. Go ahead and write down something now as I'm silent. Good. Now you're getting some momentum. Now for point 3. Point number 3 that you wrote down, something that came to you as you listened to this program, I want you to elaborate on point number 3 as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number 4, the 4th point that you wrote down, something that came to you while you're listening to this program. I want you to elaborate on point number 4 as I'm silent. great. Last but not least, point number five. Take point number five and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. So now you have something that you can take with you after this program. You have those 5 points that you elaborated on, and you can use them after this program's over. So let's continue on with the information now.